Rama 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Bolo. Namaste, Sarasvati Deve, Gauravani Pacharave, Nirvisesha Shunyavidi, Paskita Desatame, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Siyadvaita Gadadhar, Sivasari, Yor Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So it is my great fortune and honor to be here tonight. And I'd like to thank each and every one of you for participating in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, whether you're an old-timer or a first-timer. Srila Prabhupada would often thank his audience also in the same way. So I was listening to a lecture the other day of Srila Prabhupada. He said, anyone who takes part just even a little bit, he is glorious. He or she is glorious. So thank you again. I think I have to move over there to start the presentation. Thank you. Sorry to have my back to most of you. Tonight we're going to be discussing the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. And we've done a bit of an unusual arrangement here. We've taken still pictures from our DVD series following Srila Prabhupada, extracted still pictures. Those of you who have seen the series have probably seen these pictures, but at 1/24th of a second. That's too high. As an editor, in editing the series, I was always fascinated by some of the still pictures. I originally was a still photographer, so I decided to take some of them out and give a small presentation. There is actually 31 hours in our DVD series, and there's at 24 frames a second times 60 makes 1 minute times 60, 1 hour times 31 is over 2 million still pictures. So it's a bit of an endeavor to go through it all. But we're very happily doing that. These are some of the first pictures that we know exist of Srila Prabhupada in New York. It's actually Ananda Ashram, upstate New York. Could you put something on that just to raise it slightly? This is 1965, actually. Dr. Mishra, we all know who he is. Those of you who don't, Prabhupada met him very early on after he arrived in America, in New York, and Dr. Mishra invited him to come to his ashram. Prabhupada really didn't know anyone at that time, very few. And you'll have to pardon the quality of these still pictures. They're taken from very small movie frames, basically. And also the projector we have tonight was a bit of a challenge trying to get the right settings. But Dr. Mishra would ask, when Prabhupada first came, he allowed him to speak, but then very soon on he realized that their philosophies were contrary. Dr. Mishra was an impersonalist, and Srila Prabhupada, of course, was a personalist, emphasizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, as a person. So Dr. Mishra very soon asked him to stop speaking, Srila Prabhupada, but he would allow him to do kirtan. So this is Dr. Mishra, one of the very early persons in Dr. Mishra's ashram was Joan Suval. This is some of the Hatha Yoga they were practicing there. And this is Joan Suval. She's the present day head of the Ananda Ashram. She gave a very wonderful interview about Srila Prabhupada. In fact, she's the first person to speak in our DVD series. And she remembers Srila Prabhupada very fondly, as does Sally Agarwal, where Prabhupada first stayed when he arrived in Butler, Pennsylvania. And Dr. Mishra asked Joan to do anything that assists Srila Prabhupada in anything that he needed. So she used to take him shopping and spent quite a bit of time with Srila Prabhupada. And she remembers during the kirtans in the evening, after Dr. Mishra would speak, he would turn to Srila Prabhupada and he would say, "Now, Swamiji, just a few minutes kirtan, it is late, they are tired." And Prabhupada would say, "Yes, yes, they are tired, just short time." And then once he started, it would rarely be less than an hour. This is Prabhupada's preaching at that time. And then very soon after that, of course, we know that the first temple was secured by Mukunda Goswami, Das Adhikari at the time, a family man, Grihastha, married to Janaki Devi. And they secured this first matchless gift storefront. And this was the first temple of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, founded in the summer of 1966. There was Now, these films, actually, all the pictures that we're seeing are not still pictures. They're taken from films again. And this particular film was the first film project by Richard Witte and his wife, Susan. They were working for a production company in New York City, and the producer, the head person there, asked them to go out and make a film on anything they liked, just to get some practice. So they had seen the devotees in Compton Square Park, Srila Prabhupada was there also, and they decided to do their film on the devotees. That was 1966. In 1983, we were producing Your Ever Will Wisher, and we had no film of Prabhupada in Compton Square Park. And we were thinking, such a film must exist, you know, but where is it? So at that time, Richard Witte was attending Govinda's restaurant every day. He really liked prasadam at 55th Street in New York City. So at that time, he decided to donate his film. And then Puru Prabhu got it and then sent it on to us. So just see how Krishna operates. This was years and years later, but at the time we needed it, he decided to donate it. And there's a very beautiful interview with Srila Prabhupada in this film. And Prabhupada, in his usual manner, gives no credit to himself for founding his first temple. And he gives all credit to the boys. And here are the boys. Prabhupada dealt with anyone who came. He encouraged them, just like I have personal experience of that meeting Srila Prabhupada in India. I had some taste for Krishna consciousness, but no obvious. I was dressed in karmi clothes and, you know, looked pretty bad off, I'm sure. But he saw that I had some interest, so he encouraged that, just like he did with anyone who came. That was Srila Prabhupada's compassion. Here's a beautiful still picture of Srila Prabhupada chanting in Tompkins Square Park. I'm not sure. To me, this photograph shows Prabhupada's determination to carry out the orders of his spiritual master and also his compassion. We can all meditate on that. What if Srila Prabhupada never came to America? Where would we all be? And this will continue, this meditation. Actually, those of us who came in contact with Krishna consciousness and those who will in the future, all the way up to the end of this kalpa, will be forever grateful to his divine grace because he changed the world. And you can see that there is no obvious devotees in the frame. I think the only person wearing devotional clothes at that time was Kirtanananda Swami. And after that first temple was established, Mukunda Das Adhikari, he decided he wanted to go to India with his wife Janaki, so he told Srila Prabhupada, and he said he's going to stop in San Francisco first. So Srila Prabhupada said, why don't you try to start a temple in San Francisco? So he never got to India, and he did establish the temple. And that was the second temple of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This is Srila Prabhupada arriving in San Francisco Airport. Mukunda Maharaj is on the right in a beard, and Shamsundar Prabhu is in the middle. Allen Ginsberg has the flower, yellow flower in his lapel. That's Allen Ginsberg. And he was notified of Srila Prabhupada's arrival, and he very eagerly wanted to meet him. And this was Shamsundar Prabhu's first meeting with Srila Prabhupada, but he was a follower of Allen Ginsberg and the Beat Generation. So he was thinking, if the Beat Generation likes Srila Prabhupada, then he's for me. And this was actually Srila Prabhupada's first airplane ride from New York to San Francisco. And this is Hippie Hill in Golden Gate Park. Every day, devotees would go to Hippie Hill and have kirtan. And Srila Prabhupada, here he is on the Murdunga at Hippie Hill. And this is with an early follower. This is Jayananda Prabhu, who became known later as Mr. Rathayatra. And Srila Prabhupada, there's a wonderful film of Prabhupada leading kirtan on Hippie Hill. That's Nandarani Dasi in the back. She later joined. And Subal Prabhu on the left, on the right. And you can see Srila Prabhupada's obvious pleasure at being in the association of these hippies at that time, most of them. But just seeing them chant Hare Krishna was great joy. And Shamsundar Prabhu gives a very nice story. The person who helped organize the Avalon Ballroom concert where Srila Prabhupada appeared with all the big rock bands of the time. I forget his name, this person who organized it. Rock Scully, that was it. So Rock Scully remembers that everybody loved Srila Prabhupada, and one of the reasons was that Prabhupada stayed amongst them. He didn't come in from some big hotel and just come in and go away. He lived amongst the devotees and the people and the hippies in Hyde Ashbury. So that endeared, that was very endearing to those young people. So Srila Prabhupada went back to New York, and at that time he had a stroke or a heart attack. And so the devotees rented a place in New Jersey for him to stay. And while he was there, to try to recuperate, while he was there, the devotees from San Francisco sent a tape recording of a kirtan they had. And when the New York devotees heard that tape, they were shocked because it was a new tune. Nobody made up tunes in those days. And it was also a very wild-sounding kirtan with all kinds of instruments and strange sounds and whoops. And there were probably, many people were intoxicated. But when Srila Prabhupada heard the kirtan, he was very happy that they were still chanting. Then later on, they sent another recording called Narada Muni, the Eternal Spaceman. So anyway, Prabhupada encouraged the conservative New York devotees, and he also encouraged the liberals in San Francisco. So these are a series of still pictures taken from a film that Damodar Prabhu made called Swamiji. Prabhupada went back to New York, and he wasn't getting better. He felt his health needed to improve his health. He felt he needed to go to India. So he announced that one day to the devotees, and they were shocked that he was leaving. And Prabhupada said another shocking thing. He said, "I may not return." So they were thinking, let's ask Damodar Prabhu to make a film, so when Prabhupada leaves, then we can actually have something to meditate upon. So Damodar Prabhu made this film called Swamiji, and these are some of the beautiful still pictures from that film. And these are all in Prabhupada's room. I'm sorry. At that time, there were very few books. I think Bhagavad Gita, as it is, was the only book at that time. So here we have Srila Prabhupada sitting at his desk. You'll see a globe with Brahmananda Swami in the foreground. So Srila Prabhupada would often look at that globe and meditate on the globe. And sometimes he would speak to the devotees. He would say, Govinda Dasi, you shall go to Japan. Gaurasundar Prabhu, you shall go to Russia. Brahmananda Prabhu, you shall go to Africa. He would speak like this, and devotees would listen, and they wouldn't disbelieve, but they would wonder, how would that ever be possible, that we could go to different countries and preach. But Srila Prabhupada knew, of course, the future. And here we are in Boston on a morning walk. Jadarani Dasi on the left, Gaurasundar Prabhu on the right. Gaurasundar was Prabhupada's secretary along with his wife, Govinda Dasi. And Gaurasundar was a very avid reader. So at that time, again, there were very few books. So he would go to the library and try to find books on the Vedic literature, dealing with the Vedic times. So he found some books and he was reading, and he read about Brahmins, how they chant mantras and they do ceremonies. And he wanted to become a Brahmin. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, can you make me a Brahmin? That was when Srila Prabhupada decided to have the first Brahminical initiation. So unfortunately for the women, they were not included. So Govinda Dasi was very, very upset, and also Jadarani. And Govinda Dasi actually boycotted the ceremony. So she was sitting alone about 10 blocks away. And all of a sudden she thought, what am I doing here? You know, so she burst, threw open the door, ran 10 blocks and burst in the temple room. And Srila Prabhupada looked at her and he said, "Ah, Govinda Dasi, I knew you could not stay away. You like to hear me speak so much." So Srila Prabhupada would take the devotees for morning walks, and he actually showed them at this early time where he went, where the captain took him on his first tour of Boston. This is Prabhupada's arrival in Montreal. And if you were ever fortunate to receive a smile like this from Srila Prabhupada, it was quite overwhelming. This lady, unknown lady, she met Srila Prabhupada with a bouquet of flowers. And here we are in Brooklyn Botanical Gardens. This is a film called The Full Nectarine, also shot by Damodar Prabhu. And it's a film on the life of Lord Chaitanya. It also includes Radha Krishna and the gopis, and also includes Srila Prabhupada speaking at the inn, and also in kirtan. So the devotees had a misconception at this time. They were thinking, when we dress up these two devotees as Radha and Krishna, they actually become Radha and Krishna. You have to remember that devotees at that time were devotees only for a few years, the oldest ones. This is in 1968, and so the devotees were at the most 2.5, perhaps 3 years in the movement, and most were a lot younger. So there were some, with neophyte devotees, naturally there's misconceptions. They were even taking their remnants as prasadam. So when Srila Prabhupada heard this, he was quite upset. But he said, "From this inclination, I can understand that you want to know more about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna." And he recited the Brahma Samhita and gave explanation about the spiritual world from those prayers of Lord Brahma. So the devotees were quite happy to hear that explanation and throw out their misconceptions. Like this the back of Jayadvaita Swami's head. This is an interview with, I don't know the person who was interviewing Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada was a very animated discussion. I took some stills from this just to show Prabhupada's expression. He's described as Srila Prabhupada's saucer-like eyes. And then at the end, Srila Prabhupada showed how to chant japa. Another beatific smile. Oceanic smile. This is Srila Prabhupada arriving at the first big San Francisco Ratha Yatra in 1970. Bhavananda Prabhu requested all the temple presidents to buy a gardenia garland for Srila Prabhupada. He was garlanded with quite a few of these beautiful, fragrant gardenias, garlands. His favorite flower, actually. In editing, sometimes the stories would exactly match the visual and not by plan. In this particular case, Bhavananda Prabhu had a story about buying Prabhupada's, actually designing his Rath Yatra outfit. And he demanded that Madhavisa Prabhu, the president of San Francisco, buy real pearl buttons for Prabhupada's kurta. So you can see the cufflinks are here, actually pearls, and the buttons also. And this was the first time that Prabhupada actually danced off the ground, leapt off the ground. He instructed previously how to do the Swami step, but this is the first time he actually jumped. And devotees were thrilled. And after, in a darshan, after the Rath Yatra festival, Srila Prabhupada asked the devotees, why have we gone to all this trouble to put on this festival? And then he repeated, why have we gone to all this trouble? And devotees didn't have an answer, and Prabhupada finally said, it's the compassion of the Vaishnavas. Then he repeated, it is the compassion of the Vaishnavas. And then tears came to his eyes. In our travels, we can also see so much endeavor is put into these big festivals and preaching endeavors, and a big temple. There's actually a big temple opening in Pune outside of Bombay on Lord Nityananda's appearance day this Saturday. Incredible temple going up, and this is happening in different parts of the world, all over the world. So we can see it as the compassion of the Vaishnavas. Why are we doing this? Because we're concerned for others, to see that others also have the great fortune of coming in contact with the bona fide philosophy and Srila Prabhupada himself. So we'll never see a scene like this again in an American airport. An incredible uproarious kirtan. And those are big posters, it's hard to see, of the parampara being carried by the devotees. Prabhupada's in the center, you can't see him. But here he is. And these are the devotees looking through the window, Prabhupada boarding the plane. Anyone know who that is on the left? Dinabandhu Prabhu. And then Mahatma Prabhu on the right. I'm not sure of the Mataji in the center. Who? Okay. Purnamasi, that's right. Yes. On the right. Yeah. This is a beautiful ceremony. On the sidewalks in front of Watsikan Avenue, the L.A. temple. Every day, Srila Prabhupada, when he came back for his morning walk, and he would get out of the car, and there would be this very beautiful ceremony of exchanging flowers. Prabhupada would give a devotee's flower, a flower, and they would give a flower back to him. That's Sridhar Swami at the top. And Sukadeva Prabhu toward the right. We don't know the little boy. Maybe. Many of us know the history. Well, most, I was doing the same, excuse me, the same presentation in Europe and India for probably 25 times. But here it's unique because so many know. Srila Prabhupada always paid special attention to the children. He loved the children very much. You see his obvious pleasure at this very simple exchange of flowers ceremony. So Srila Prabhupada is serving himself, Charanamrita, and there's that same shirt with the pearl buttons. He liked that shirt very much. And one day, Srila Prabhupada took Charanamrita, and then he turned to the devotees and he said, "It is salt." Somebody put salt instead of sugar in the Charanamrita. But this wasn't so humorous. I mean, some humor is there, but Srila Prabhupada could understand that there was something amiss. One day he also, he sat on the Vyasasan, and Brahmananda Swami, not Swami at the time, Brahmananda Das, presented Prabhupada a book from ISKCON Press, and when Srila Prabhupada opened it, it fell apart in his hands. Another day he took darshan, and the picture of his spiritual master was upside down on the altar. So Srila Prabhupada could understand that there was some problem. And this was described very honestly and thoroughly by Brahmananda Prabhu in our DVD series. He called it the envy of the spiritual master. And it was quite an apparatus in some of the devotees' consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada, when he heard about it, he was very upset. In fact, he left soon after that and didn't come back to the West for quite a number of years. It was about 1 year. And as a remedial measure, he gave four devotees sannyas at that time. Brahmananda Prabhu was one of them. But even amidst this problem, Prabhupada actually asked that the devotees not be told about it. He said they are innocent, they will not understand. So as far as envy, we can understand that this was our original problem. This is the condition, more or less, of all conditioned souls in this material world. This is the reason we're here, that we developed somehow or other envy. We want to take the position of Krishna. So therefore we were sent here. So it should not be surprising that these things may surface now and then. But amidst this, Srila Prabhupada was always very blissful. Here he is leaving Watsika Avenue to go to Japan. That garland went down to his feet, by the way. Prabhupada leaving in the international LA airport. That's Kaushalya Devi on the left. And Devananda Prabhu on the right, Kirtananda Swami, Jayatirtha Prabhu. Prabhupada was always blissful, even though there were problems. There will always be problems, certainly. Prabhupada always maintained his daily schedule, his routine, his translation, his writing letters. He never wavered from that. His discussion with devotees, his guiding him, his worldwide society. And here we are in New Vrindavan for the first Janmasthami festival, 1970, the first big one, rather. It's Lakshmi Muni Devi in the front with baby. You can see the young faces. Actually, I had come to New Vrindavan 2 weeks before this festival as a photographer doing a photographic essay for a magazine on Krishna consciousness. Then I left before the festival, and I'm actually glad I did, because there was another problem at this time. You may wonder why I'm bringing up these problems, but it's good that they surfaced early and Srila Prabhupada dealt with them. This time there was something called the overestimation of the spiritual master. So the four sannyasis went from the underestimation, they swung the other way, to the overestimation, and they were saying that Srila Prabhupada is actually Bhagavan. This may seem also shocking, but we can understand. I just came from India, And there are quite a few groups in India who claim that their founder is actually Bhagavan, even though the founder never said that. So we have to be very, very careful to preserve what we have exactly as it's given to us through the Parampara. It's interesting to note that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, and he explained to Arjuna that I'm speaking this to you to reestablish the disciplic succession. So if the disciplic succession could be broken 5,000 years ago, what to speak of today? So the sannyasis were preaching like this, and it caused a big upset. And when Srila Prabhupada heard about it, he banished them. He said they should leave ISKCON, not come to our temples. This was a shock to them. They were put in a van and taken to Detroit, and they were locked in a room in the attic, I think. And they were given prasadam. The next morning, they were turned out on the street. And they had no money, they had no possessions, they just started walking. They maybe had a few possessions. They had no money, for sure. And they walked and walked until evening, and then they found some pine trees, so they lay down under the pine trees on the needles, kind of a soft bed, and spent the night there. In the morning, they got up, and they realized that they were in front of the Ford Motor Company in Detroit. So they chanted their rounds. They had a morning program. They read Bhagavatam. This is what sannyasis do. Again, they were quite shocked to be thrown out of the movement. So they decided to go to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. So they hitchhiked there. They arrived and they started preaching on campus. And they would ask people, you invite us back to your apartment, they asked students, and get us some nice vegetables and grains, and we will prepare a feast. And so they had quite a few takers. And one of those persons who invited them back, he was a grihastha at the time, he was very attracted to Vishnu John Swami. He said, in his mind, he was thinking when he met him, I want to become like him. So today he is Indradyumna Swami. And you can just see the effect of that preaching today. So they were, by that preaching, they were purified and then accepted back into ISKCON. So, happy ending. Srila Prabhupada called many of his devotees, actually about 30, from America to join him in India, in Mumbai, in August of 1970 for the beginning of the World Sankirtan Party. And this was the first large group going back to India, and it caused a sensation. Still, even today, Western Vaishnavas cause a sensation in India. But then it was quite an amazing phenomenon. If you consider the history of India, the Muslim invaders, you know, tried to destroy the Vedic culture. And the British followed in suit in a more subtle way, trying to destroy their culture. And all of a sudden you have Western Vaishnavas coming to the shores in 1970. So you can just imagine what the effect was. Most people were thrilled. Everyone was curious. Some people were suspicious. We were even accused of being CIA. And that was brought up in the Indian Parliament. So anyway, Prabhupada's formula for coming to America, making Western Vaishnavas and bringing them back to India was a huge success. Because as we know, Prabhupada didn't make many disciples. He actually made one disciple before he came. But he actually preached to many, many influential people. So when we did come back to India, there are many, many engagements in very influential persons' homes. And here is one engagement. Prabhupada was invited to speak on Chaupati Beach. There was a big pondal erected. And the organizers asked Srila Prabhupada to come on stage, but not with his followers. And when Prabhupada heard that, he said, I will not speak unless my followers are with me. So Srila Prabhupada was very proud of them, and he said, "My followers are every bit as good as these yogis and swamis here." And we can actually understand they were better in most cases because most of these persons were impersonalists. There's one very humorous story. One of these impersonalists was speaking, and Srila Prabhupada followed. And in his Prabhupada speech, he said, "You have just heard from such and such, and he is an impersonalist. But I can tell you something that I know. In secret, he is worshiping Radha and Krishna deities at home." So the man smiled. Me, Prabhupada had him. And Prabhupada did something quite amazing that he would often do at these gatherings, is kind of disrupt the ordinary course of proceedings. And this time he was leading kirtan, and then all of a sudden he asked his disciples to go down into the crowd and chant in the crowd. So here they are rushing into the crowd. And this caused a huge sensation. Everybody got off their feet. They were sitting in chairs previously. And there was a huge kirtan. And then at one point, Prabhupada joined them off the stage into the audience. This is Dinanath Prabhu, one of the great kirtaniyas in the early days of India. And Bhanu Swami on his right, he was Brahmachari at the time, Tamal Krishna, Das Adhikari at the time. His wife in the background, Madhuri Devi. With the glasses. With the glasses, mm-hmm. And here Srila Prabhupada is in the crowd, and he was dancing. So this kind of disrupted the whole mela. There's our beloved Yamuna Devi. Prabhupada would often ask her to lead kirtan. Appreciated her kirtans very much and her devotion. Here she is again at Mathura Junction Station, only for 20 minutes. They were on their way. The Prabhupada World Sankirtan Party was on their way to Amritsar. And this was the first time in the Holy Dham. Yamuna Devi describes it as they were in a trance of ecstasy, even for only 20 minutes. But at each stop along the way, they would jump down off the train and have kirtan. And of course, hundreds of people would gather. And in this way, they were preaching all across India off the train. And they crisscrossed India quite a few times in those early months. This is a kirtan in Amritsar. Again, please excuse the poor quality. This is Malati Devi in Surat. Surat was an exceptional venue. One of the mayors in one of the towns we visited said even if Indira Gandhi, the prime minister, had come, she would not have received the reception that Srila Prabhupada received with his disciples. Prabhupada said this is a town of Vaishnavas. This is where I joined the devotees when I first met Srila Prabhupada. I had come from America to do an assignment, actually a master's thesis. So I brought some articles that I did on Krishna consciousness, and I showed it to Srila Prabhupada the first night I met him. He liked them. And I explained I'd like to travel with the party and take pictures for my project. So Srila Prabhupada looked at him and he said, "So are you going to become a devotee?" I was quite shocked. I had some attraction, but I couldn't imagine shaving up and wearing the robes, so I said, "I don't think so." So Srila Prabhupada said something shocking again. He said, "Then you cannot stay." What to do? I didn't leave, and Srila Prabhupada didn't say anything more, and I stayed for 2 months. And that was quite a profound statement, then you cannot stay. And that Prabhupada was speaking for the long term in that case. Sometimes he would speak for the short term, sometimes the long term, sometimes for both. But he very mercifully allowed me to stay, and he could tell that I had some attraction. And actually that instruction is interesting, that comment, then you cannot stay. Actually, it applies to all of us. If we don't become devotees, then we cannot stay in the association of devotees. And even if we're in the physical association, we can't take full benefit. So this was an incredible time, unforgettable. The townspeople, the Sankirtan was printed in the newspaper, the Sankirtan route, every day. So the people in that area would know the Sankirtan party was coming. So they would decorate the streets and be prepared for us with garlands and sandalwood paste and arti paraphernalia. They would offer arti to the Sankirtan party. So you can see here the streets decorated with cloth and mango leaves. Wow. And the whole town would turn out. There I am in a blue shirt, a crow amongst swans. You can see why Srila Prabhupada said I couldn't stay. These are some of the still pictures I took. I was taking black and white photographs at the time. And this is in Prabhupada's room during Mangal Arti. It was an incredible experience being in those Mangal Artis. Just the devotion was just intense, very intense. And this was the second night we were there, that I was there. The whole street was closed off. Thousands of people filled the streets. People were on the roofs, hanging out the windows. Prabhupada had a kirtan. He spoke, then he asked his disciples to speak. Then he turned to me and asked me to speak. Another shock. I said a few words. I spoke for about 30 seconds, and I thanked the people of Surat for receiving the devotees in such a wonderful way. Because I had come from the streets of New York photographing the devotees. It was quite an opposite extreme. And Srila Prabhupada was tireless in Surat and everywhere he went. He would preach. If he was invited to an engagement, he would never refuse. So sometimes there would be five engagements a day, often, you know, and most often with full prasad. So it was quite an austerity sometimes. Very hard to keep up. We stayed in the home of Mr. Jariwala. He was a banker. He's second from Prabhupada's left with a Nehru hat on. And he tolerated so much. The devotees were quite often sick in his home. And then when we were leaving, the day we left, he addressed us all and he said, "I've been honored to have you in my home. If there's any offenses I've committed, please forgive me." And then he started crying. So Prabhupada turned to us and he said, "This is a Vaishnava." I took quite a few photographs of Srila Prabhupada speaking. This was in a village outside Surat. And it was a very beautiful lecture, very animated. I don't remember what he said, but again, some shots of the Harinam party. This is Banu Das Brahmachari. Banu Maharaj today was very exemplary in those early days. He would never get sick. He was very controlled in his eating. One time Srila Prabhupada came back from morning walk. We were all taking prasadam. He looked at us all and he said, "You are all overeating." So that was our downfall in India. Smalati Devi Rivadi Nandan Prabhu. And also, forget his name, in the very back, does anyone know his name? Chidananda, yes. Prabhupada would take morning walks by the river. Whenever there's an opportunity for kirtan, even one devotee would take it. And here, Durla Prabhu is leading the Boy Scouts in Harinam. Durla Prabhu was one of the early cinematographers. You can see his Super 8, actually it was a regular 8 camera, I think, dangling off his arm. So he actually took many of the early films. We're very indebted to him. Beautiful close-up of Srila Prabhupada's lotus hands. And when the Sankirtan party came back, Srila Prabhupada would come out into his balcony and give everyone darshan. Of course, the devotees were thrilled to see him, and all, but especially the townspeople. They always wanted, they were very eager to have darshan of Srila Prabhupada, to see the personality who took their culture to foreign countries. I'd like to continue quickly. I know it's overtime. Is that all right? A few more minutes? This is Kumbh Mela 1970. It was a 6-year Mela. Very, very cold. Srila Prabhupada had us do 3 things at this Mela. Profuse distribution of prasadam, which was very, very difficult because all we had to cook on was sticks. There were no logs. Very hard to find wood. And then also deity worship, and then every day Harinam Sankirtan through the tent city. There were reported to be 7 million people that year. Hansaduta Prabhu on the right, Yamuna Devi in back of him, Giridhar Das Brahmachari with the blanket and hat, Achyutananda Swami on the left of him, Tushta Krishna in the background in the white, Prabhupada's secretary, Aravinda, Rivadinanda Prabhu in the back, Tamal Krishna Goswami, Madhuri Devi, and Madhavisa Prabhu. Prabhupada shaving. Prabhupada could have stayed in Allahabad with friends. He was grihastha here for many, many years. He could have stayed in a hotel, but he chose to stay with us in a tent, again, staying amongst his disciples. Here's one of my favorite pictures. It looks like Prabhupada is the Sankirtan, Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan general, leading the troops forward. This is Prabhupada in a rickshaw. And we're all going to the Sri Rupa Gaudiya Math in Allahabad, where Srila Prabhupada served for many, many years as a grihastha. Here we are, all are in rickshaws. Hansaduta Prabhu gave a very nice analogy. He compared us to like little ducklings following the mother duckling. Wherever Prabhupada would go, we would eagerly follow him and serve him. Again, Prabhupada served at this particular math for many years, and he was instrumental in securing the deities. He actually donated the Radha Krishna Murtis. This was his service, but he was always thinking at this time, how can I do more service for my spiritual master? This is an engagement at Prabhudat Das Brahmachari's ashram. This is Prabhudat Das Brahmachari. He was reported to be over 100 years old. Srila Prabhupada actually said that there were yogis up to 300 years old at the Mela, and we should be very careful not to offend them. They were very powerful yogis. He said they had the power to immerse themselves in the Ganga at Hardwar and come up at Allahabad. So again, wherever we were, there were many, many people gathered. Giridhar Das Brahmachari. Again, all of us were very young. I was one of the older persons in India at age 27. I was an elder. Prabhupada would often accompany us on Sankirtan. This particular person, when he first met Srila Prabhupada, he threw himself at Prabhupada's feet and got up and started dancing. Srila Prabhupada liked him quite a bit. He was very friendly. Exhibited his devotion in a very enthusiastic way. There's baby Saraswati on her father's shoulders in the background. Saraswati was a big attraction in those days. Whenever there was kirtan, she would raise her arms and chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said she was the perfect preacher. And anything she knew about Krishna, she was eager to tell it to others. So she would go up to people and say, pull on their dhoti or kirtan. She would say, guess what? And they would say, what? And she would say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you should surrender to him. This is Banaras, Prabhupada riding through the streets in a parade during Lord Chaitanya's appearance day. So again, Prabhupada royally and grandly received. That's Jayapataka Swami on the left. Pansadutta Prabhu on the right. Dinanath Prabhu. And this is that same shirt. You can see the buttons. Actually, I heard that the devotee, Mataji in L.A. made this shirt. Chitralekha. Hare Krishna. Nice. And I was told that she wasn't sure about how to make the shirt. This is obviously a Western collar, not so much a Swami collar. But she was thinking that I'll make it, it's kind of like a cowboy shirt. And Prabhupada's a cowboy. So he might like it. So Prabhupada didn't care for convention. He wore the shirt all over India. He cared for the devotion. So this is a beautiful close-up of Srila Prabhupada. I think Duralab Prabhu took these films. And then all of a sudden, sometimes we'd be filming Srila Prabhupada like this, and all of a sudden he would go like this, and then I would run away. Always afraid to disturb him. This is the deity in that procession. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is Mumbai, the first big pandal at Cross Maidan. This is incredible. Only after a few months in India, we're having these huge, huge pandal programs where tens and thousands of people would come with very distinguished guests, big kirtans, big prasadam distribution. This was the time that Prabhupada asked one Westerner to come from the back of the crowd and sit next to him on stage. And that was, we all know, is Radhanath Swami.
Was that procession?
That was at this program, yeah. So you can see, you can't see so well in the front, but these are all people in the dark foreground. Huge, huge crowds. At this time, when Radhanath Swami was sitting next to Prabhupada, he was impressed by Prabhupada's eager desire to communicate his message to the audience. So at this time, my friend Jean came from America to join me. She had helped me to do the first article. She was the writer, I was the photographer. She was wondering what happened to John. So she came and met Srila Prabhupada this time. She was a graduate in photography also. She wanted to do a photo essay in an Indian village, so Srila Prabhupada suggested that we go to Vrindavan. Actually, he first said, if you go anywhere else, your cameras will be stolen, you'll be cheated. So I said, best you go to Vrindavan. So she was brought up in actually an atheist. She was not attracted at all, but she came to see me. And before we went to Vrindavan, we actually took a trip to Nepal. And there we hiked up in the Himalayas into a beautiful valley about 12,500 feet. And we had one book, we had Bhagavad Gita as it is. She was reading that book, and she, it was the first time she became attracted to the idea that we may not be the body, we may be a soul. So this was quite a revelation for her. This was a Krishna conscious marriage at that pandal. Prabhupada called this the real United Nations. And the people were thrilled to see a boy from Sweden, Bhagavan Prabhu, and a girl from Australia. Her name? Anyone? Padmavati? Anyway. That's Karanadakshay Vishnu. Yeah. I'm sorry, his son is Karanadakshay Vishnu. Kiradakshay Vishnu. Thank you. These are the deities that were at that pandal. So the next picture is us at 12,000 feet in that cabin. We found a deserted cabin and spent 5 days there. And then came back down to Vrindavan. On the way, we took our art photography. You can see there's some nice symmetry here, but not much of a message. And then we finally came down to Vrindavan, and this is where Jean became a devotee and later became Vishakhadevi. And she was actually spent a lot of time in the temples photographing widows. This is one of her photographs, chanting Hare Krishna. So daily we'd be hearing the kirtans and being greeted by Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna. So it was a very wonderful time. So thank you very much. You've been very patient. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If anyone's interested in having a copy of our DVD series, we do have sets. So please see me afterwards. Hare Krishna.